Okay, I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so last week I talked about FutureSight. And today was part two. It is part two. But something interesting came up. Matt Cavada needs a ride to work. And for those that remember my podcasting on Planeswalkers, Matt lives right near me, and so occasionally he and I go to work together. And I thought, FutureSight, the one team Matt was on, the fates were speaking. So Matt's going to join us today for part two of FutureSight. We'll get some insight into maybe his take. Because like I said, I've done a lot of design teams. I've been on 50-plus design teams. Matt's been on one, this one. So we're going to talk to him today about it. And I'm going to try to hit some of the issues I didn't hit last time. So we'll see if we can combine those together. So a quick reminder before I'm driving to get Matt right now. So Matt, at the time, Matt has a new job, but his original job was he was on the creative team, and he did names and flavor text. And at the time, I was looking for a more offbeat design team to do FutureSight, because I know we were doing a lot of crazy, I really wanted a team that was outside the box thinking. Plus, I really wanted a member of the creative team on my design team, because not only were we designing future mechanics, but we were also hinting at future worlds. And I thought it'd be nice to have a person to do that. So Matt was filling multiple roles. So we'll talk to him today, and we'll try to figure out what his take on all of this was, because, like I said, I've done a lot of design teams, so I think maybe in some ways I'm a little more jaded. I've been doing this for a long, long time. But like I said, this was Matt's one team, so he probably have a different perspective. So I'm almost there to pick him up. To think another things you need to know before I get Matt. As I said last time, remember that FutureSight was set up. We knew the time spiral was the past. We knew that Planar Chaos was the alternate present, and we knew that FutureSight was going to be a glimpse of the possible futures of magic, and all of that entailed. And last time I talked about the time-shifted sheet, and I talked about the mix-and-match cards, and I talked about the packs, the packed cycle. So today, the goal was to talk about mechanics, but we'll see. I'm going to pick Matt up, and we'll figure out where we go. If need be, we'll have a third part here. I've learned that these the podcast about the episodes, people like them to run over several episodes, so I'm willing to spend the time to talk about it. Aha, here is Matt. Let's pick him up. Okay. Welcome.
Good morning.
Okay, welcome to the show, Matt.
You're already in progress?
I'm in progress, yes. Okay. I have to start when I leave my driveway, because I have to begin every show by going, I'm pulling out of my driveway. So, yes, my rule is that my podcast is from the start of my drive to the end of my drive, so...
Have you had any flat tires or any such thing?
I got gas ones. I don't know. I've been in traffic a few times, so I always expect more somehow my actually being in a car mattering, but it only matters once every five shows.
One of these days, someone's going to sideswipe you, and this show is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be the road rage episode. Okay, so here's what I was saying before you got in the car was I've been on 50 some design teams. You've been on one. So I said, well, what are the chances that the one I'm talking about is the one that you were on? So that felt like fate. So let's start with this, which is, what was it like being on the only design team you've ever been on?
You know, I have no perspective because, like you said, I've only been on one. I imagine that 99 out of 100 people who play Magic... who are really into it, think of how much fun it would be to be charged with designing cards that will ultimately end up actually getting put into a card set. And I have to say that it was that. It was very cool. However, I can say that I didn't experience all that often what it feels like to design a card and then actually see it printed.
So I
can only think of two.
Okay, what are the two cards that your brain to print?
The only two I can think of, they both kind of suck. One is the Putrid Cyclops.
Okay.
Scry 1 Cyclops. Just seemed funny to me. the Yixlid Jailer.
Okay. What does the Yixlid Jailer do?
Cards in graveyards do nothing. Or have no abilities.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a new card.
Yeah, it's a hoser. People sometimes actually play with it. Whereas the Cyclops lurks in binders.
It was played in limited. It was, not every card, you know. I mean, one of the things people don't realize is we make tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of cards, and so few of them actually make it to print.
The other thing that I wasn't aware would happen is that while you might not design start to finish a card that gets printed, you dabble on all kinds of cards as a team.
Yeah, well, people ask me all the time, like, why don't we credit the designers on the cards? And I'm like, with the artist, we know who drew the card. With the designer, like,
with four names attached to one card.
Yeah, and a lot of times someone has an idea and someone tweaks the idea. Someone else says, what do you do this? And, you know, and it's very, very hard at the end of the day to know some cards who even made the card.
Right.
You know, I mean, some cards, like I said, there's definitely cards where I made the card, no one touched it, I know I made the card.
Yeah.
Last episode, I was talking about some of the cards I made in Future Sight, and I was talking about the time-shifted cards were extra hard because of the rule that said it had to be something Magic's never done before.
Right.
And that's, I remember, so I said that when I put together the team, three of the six members on the team had never been on a Magic Design team before, which is very bizarre for a Magic Design team.
Right.
But I was trying to
get out of the box.
Yes, I wanted out of the box. I thought you were an out-of-the-box guy, so. Another thing that I talked about is we were trying to show off not just future mechanics, but future creative elements. Yeah. Well, you can talk about that a little bit.
Well, there were a small handful of ideas that we thought we would get to at some point, and you and I talked yesterday about the Sarcomite mirror.
Yeah.
We had an inkling that Phyrexia would be back.
Well, Sarcomite, for those who don't realize, we knew that the Phyrexians had invaded Mirrodin when we did Mirrodin.
Right.
Like, if you go read the novel, I mean, the fact that the Phyrexians are invading was worked into Mirrodin. So we knew we were going to go back. Now, the big change, I talked about this in my podcast on Scars of Mirrodin, was we thought we were going to go back to New Phyrexia, and then at the end of it, oh my god, it's Mirrodin! But right. We ended up going to Mirrodin and watching them get taken over.
We also planted a Lorwyn card directly in.
I think we planted cards for the whole next block.
Yes.
I think there was a Lorwyn, an Eventide, a Shadowmoor, and a Morningtide card all put in.
There was, and I can't say that this is actually going to happen or not, but we put some dinosaur stuff in there.
Yeah, is it Miraganda? Is that
yes,
the name? Yeah.
There's that. And I think we did, wasn't there a dinosaur of some kind in there?
Yeah, there was.
Was Imperiosaur in there?
I think so. There's some dinosaur stuff in Future Sight for sure.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things I think we did was we knew some worlds we were going to go to, and we knew some worlds that we thought one day we might go to.
Right.
And then you guys just screwed around a little bit.
Right. And then there was, of course, Coward World that we plan on going to at some point.
Yes. Oh, so here, let me ask you a question. So the card that I get the most questions about, see if you can guess this. Of all the cards in Future Sight, the card that generates the most conversation that I get bugged the most about would be what card? Tarmogoyf is the one that people talk about as far as being the most powerful. But I get a lot more mail about another card from Future Sight. See if you can name it.
Putrid Cyclops?
Yes, they go, when are you going to make more Putrid Cyclopses? And Ixlid Jailers, can you please make more of them? No, I'll give you a clue. It involves assembling contraptions.
Oh, yeah.
Steam Flugger Bus. Do you remember anything about the creative of Steam Flugger Bus?
I think that was one where our tongues were firmly planted in our cheeks. I don't think any of us dreamed that would actually come.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Aaron actually admitted, in like, right after it came out, he admitted that it was a joke and we never planned to do it. And I'm like, Aaron, why did you tell them that? Now we're like destined to somehow have to figure out how to do it. So, I was like, it's a joke. The beauty of the joke was we didn't tell them the joke. So, it's kind of like, remember in Doctor Strangelove, the Russians, Dr. Strangelove, invent this machine that's supposed to, like, scare everybody else from, you know, like, it stops nuclear war by being this like, if you bomb us, we'll bomb everybody. It was a machine. Right. But they never told anybody about it. Like, we have to tell people about it or else it doesn't work. So, okay, so, in front of you is a list of all the mechanics in the set. Well, all the non-evergreen mechanics in the set.
You know what might happen on this podcast that makes driving matter?
Okay, what?
Is when Matt vomits from reading the car.
I'm driving! So, well, by the way, one of the days, someone keeps, you and I have to do this on a future podcast. They want to do a podcast where I answer questions, but I can't do that while I'm driving, so I need to have someone else in the car read me questions. Right, so maybe one day we'll do that. We'll do a Ask Mark and Matt Day.
Okay.
Okay, so...
I
mentioned this in part one. So, before Future Sight came out, like Planar Chaos previously, there were 56 keywords in Magic. How many keywords... Well, they're not even all there because the evergreen ones aren't there. There were 48 keywords in Future Sight. Those are just ones that were introduced in Future Sight.
These are all...
Well, I'd say these were new, and these were expert ones brought back. That doesn't include flying and first strike and stuff like that.
What is typecasting?
Like wizard casting. Wizard cycling. Oh, wizard cycling, it's called.
Okay,
so,
I remember that.
Yeah, one of the things that was interesting about making mechanics was... So, a lot of what we were doing was what we call extrapolative design, which was... We were trying to surprise the things you'd never seen before, but a lot of what we were trying to do is design obvious places we could go from stuff we had done.
Right.
For example, we had like a morph cycle. Remember the morph cycle?
Yeah.
Pre-evolving. Right. So the morph cycle was a vertical cycle in which normal morph takes creatures and they morph. So we took the other permanent types that existed at the time, because planeswalkers didn't exist yet, although they almost did. And we took a land, an enchantment, and a artifact, and then each one of them, morphed into that.
Right.
Okay, so pick one of these, and we'll talk about it.
Talk about grandeur.
Oh, grandeur. Okay, what do you remember of grandeur?
That was the legend ability.
Correct? Yes, yes, that was the ability.
That's actually pretty cool.
It was very cool. Do you know who designed the grandeur ability? I'm sure you don't, but.
No.
A little trivia question.
No, I don't.
No one on the design team, so that's why it's a trick question. It was designed by Bill Rose, who's the VP of R&D. Bill had come up with the idea. So one of the things that... One of the ongoing problems, maybe I'll have a whole podcast on this, because legendary, the super type legendary. The problem is, it's this awesome thing that we want people to be excited about, right? These are characters that are unique, except the legendary ability is just... A downside.
Yeah.
It's like there's no... I mean, I guess you can play Commander with it. But other than that, I mean, it is... There's no great advantage to being a named character other than now you can't have more than one in play.
Right.
So Bill said, is there anything we could do to make the legendary ability better?
Right.
And Bill came up with the Grandeur ability. So for those who don't remember, what the Grandeur ability says is you can discard copies, extra copies of it, to have an effect. And the idea was... That way, if you drew a second one, it wasn't a dead card anymore.
Right.
And we did them in a cycle. I think it was a cycle.
I think so.
Now, if I remember correctly, all the legends were ancestors of famous people. Is that correct?
Oh, now I'm remembering.
Right?
Yeah,
they were like...
Was Blackblade one of those?
Yeah, Blackblade was one of those, right. That was Dak and Blackblade's, I don't know, grandson or something.
There were some kids in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was us doing future generations of known characters.
Right.
Like I said, that's more extrapolative design. Like, instead of making brand new characters, we riffed off characters you knew and showed their offspring.
Right. I think that's a pretty cool ability.
It is.
I'm surprised we've never used it since.
We will. If I take all the abilities that we introduced in Future Sight, they fall in three categories. Category one is, for sure, we'll do them again. Now, it takes us a while to get to some of them. We have to find the right place for them. So just because we haven't done it doesn't mean I'm not interested in doing it. There's a bunch on there that, like, I actively have been looking for places to put it.
Do you imagine that grandeur would apply only to your own self? Or would could I discard any legend with grandeur to use that ability?
Oh, I think it's just your guys. I don't think if your opponent has a guy in play, you can discard yours.
If I have Legend A with grandeur on the board,
yeah.
But Legend B with grandeur in my hand, can I discard him for Legend A's bonus?
No, that's not how grandeur works. Grandeur says that
all
you can.
About me.
Yeah. If I Legend A can discard other copies of Legend A. Now, what I thought you were asking was, what if Legend B is another version of Legend A, right?
You know what card I want to see?
What?
I want to see a legendary rat lord who you can have any number of copies of that guy in your deck.
Okay.
Like, what is that card? Relentless Rats?
Well, there's Relentless Rats. That's the one which gives minis if you want. It's based on Plague Rats, which a lot of people used to play with. Lots of Plague Rats, although.
And he has grandeur.
Yes. Rat grandeur.
My all-Rat-Lord deck.
So we've made a few Rat-Lords, although nothing...
He doesn't actually have to be a Rat-Lord.
Yeah. You know what I realized? I goofed up on Gatecrash. I didn't make an Ooze-Lord. I dropped the ball.
Nothing says the city like an Ooze.
Well, the Simic have lots of Ooze. It would have fit. A Simic Ooze-Lord would have fit. Okay, pick another ability.
I pick... Fate Seal.
Fate Seal! Okay, so what is Fate Seal? What inspires Fate Seal's extrapolative design? What is Fate Seal?
Is Fate Seal like Scry on your
yes,
opponent?
Yes, it's negative Scry.
Yes.
So one of the things I did was because we were doing past, present, future, I wanted to make sure there was one unique mechanic for each set that played up that theme. So the past was flashback, right? Because that's remembering the past. And the alternate present, I did Vanishing, which was a redone version of Fading, because all about you get it right now, but it goes away. And then for the future, I saved Scry. And then I said, well, you know, Scry you can only use on yourself. What if you use Scry against your opponent?
Can you use that since?
Well, okay, so I didn't finish this before. So there's three categories. Category number one is definitely, I'm looking for a place for it. I believe one day we'll do it. Category number two is, I don't know. I think Assembling Contraptions falls in this one. Maybe if we can find a way to do it. I mean, the category two I'm willing to do, but they're more challenging. They're not slam dunks. Like, category one is, look, I know we'll find a place. Category two is, I don't know, maybe. Category three is, I don't think we will ever do this mechanic again. I think Fate Seal falls in category three because it is the most unfun, violating.
Doesn't
like
it seem very Dimir though.
It is very Dimir. We talked about doing Fate Seal for Dimir, for Dimir, but it is just the most unfun thing. Like we've been spending all this time and energy trying to like take things we think that they just suck the fun out of the game,
right?
And that mechanic is really like I don't know. It is fun sucking. It's fun sucking gets.
Are there any others in the we'll never do that section?
Well, if we get to one, I'll tell you.
How about Fortify?
Fortify! Okay.
Remember Fortify.
Well, what do you think Fortify is?
I have no idea.
It gives you vitamins to make you stronger?
Yes.
No, Fortify is equipment for land.
Oh!
Yes. So that is in the category one. I'm looking for a place to use it. I need the right place. I mean, the thing with...
I can think of a place.
Well, I mean...
But we can't talk about that here.
Yes, we can't talk about it here. This is not the riff on the future stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's what they want, by the way. They go, just do a podcast on Huey or something. You know? Okay. So, Fortify was artifacts equipment for land. We actually talked about doing it in Zendikar, because Zendikar was a land set. But we had a lot of other stuff going on, and anyway, it didn't seem like the right place.
Right.
But it's category one. There will come a time and a place. We will do it, I believe.
Yeah, that seems cool.
Okay, next.
What about Aura Swap? What is that?
Aura Swap. So Aura Swap was...
But just like, I trade an aura in my hand for the one that's on a guy?
Yeah, I believe that's how it worked.
Okay.
Basically, the idea of Aura Swap is... if a creature has Aura Swap, then it has the ability it has, but it could change at any moment into another one.
So the creature has it, not the...
No, the aura has it. But if aura has Aura Swap, that means it could transform into an aura that's in your hand. So any creature that has Aura Swap, you have to be, suspicious that, it could change.
Right.
I guess that's category two. I mean, it's not that I would... It's a tricky one to use is the problem. Like, some of the other ones, like, no, I know we can... I know where to go. I know how we'd use it. This one, it's tricky. I mean, it's not a category three. It's not like we'll never do it, but it's kind of like I have to find the right way to do it. It requires a lot of finesse, and it's tricky.
It also requires friends. You know, if auras don't already kind of matter...
Yeah.
Are they going to be enough of a thing to even warrant shining another spotlight on it?
Yeah, no. It definitely... It's a linear mechanic in that... what that means is it requires other cards of its kind or of a certain kind. So, right, you have to have an aura deck to make aura swap really matter.
So, what about these? Lifelink, Death Touch, Shroud, and Reach. Did we just rename those?
No, we introduced them.
Those didn't exist?
Yes, those did not... I mean, they
didn't exist as keywords.
They weren't keywords.
Got it.
So what happened during Future Sight was I had been meaning... One of the problems I had run into was I felt we were too stingy with our keywords, and I really wanted to spread them out. I wanted to... Because what happened was, like, haste was a red thing. Only red had haste. And what my feeling on keywords is, it's this valuable commodity. What are we doing? We have to spread them out a little bit, because from a design standpoint, we kept making the same cards. We needed a little more flexibility. So my plan was, and it happened during Future Sight, was to introduce them, give them keywords, and then spread them out in colors. So the ones that had introduced Lifelink, which at the time was mostly a white thing, we spread to black.
Right.
Death Touch, which was mostly a black thing, we spread to green. Shroud, which was a green thing, got spread to blue. The blue and green had both done similar things.
Right.
And then Reach only existed. We didn't spread Reach anywhere. In fact, there's a big question of who's supposed to get Reach other than green. I think it's white is supposed to be secondary Reach, but we very rarely ever do Reach in any other color.
We need it
because it has flyers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe red. I'm not sure who needs Reach. But the reason we did it was I didn't care if we had it. I didn't need it keyworded because it's not the kind of thing we tend to use in keyword form a lot. The reason we need keywords is when you make a cycle of things and you're doing some new thing and you need to give them variety, we tend to give them creature keywords, but we need a single word.
Yeah,
and so when they're spelled out, it's hard to fit on the card.
Yeah.
That's why I needed to keyword them.
Especially in this set.
And Reach, by the way, we made Reach not because I needed it from a design standpoint. The rules team needed it because it made it easier to write the flying text. Because if flying is, I can only be blocked by creatures with flying and reach, then it just defines it. Although it's this circular logic where, like, reach and flying define each other by the other.
Right.
Kind of like in the dictionary when, like, what does this mean? It gives a synonym. What does that mean? It gives the first word.
So. Okay.
Okay, give me another one.
Absorb.
Absorb. Oh, absorb. Okay, so the idea of absorb was we did a trading card game called Star Wars. Star Wars, the trading card game. And it was a Richard Garfield design, and then I was in charge. I worked with Richard on the original design, and then I was in charge of doing the very first set, like the core set. And one of the abilities, I'm not sure whether this ended up in the first set or not, but the idea of armor, the idea that when you shoot something, it takes less damage because it had armor. And so Absorb was the idea of taking that mechanic that we had come up with for Star Wars and bringing it to Magic.
So what ends up with Absorb? Is that a creature ability?
Yeah, it's a creature ability. So what it means is absorb one means that every point of damage the creature takes, it takes one less.
Oh, so if... I got it.
Right. So so what category... Where is absorb? One, two, or three?
I don't know.
So you would think one, because it's a clean ability. It's really flavorful. But it's two.
It's kind of hard to...
Why is it two? Why is it two and not one? And no, I think we can convince. I mean, the idea is, I don't know. I'm not sure absorb was the best word, but the flavor of armor is pretty cool, of like, I'm harder to hurt, you know. I thought the flavor was cool.
Is that the reason? Because it's not correctly flavored?
No. It's a development reason, actually.
It's too good?
It's really, really, really freaking... Absorb one is really good. Like, insanely. Like, we didn't realize how good it was till we made a couple, and then we're like, oh, this is insanely good. And that's not even... You can start comboing with things.
That's
or
true.
Like,
you can't be... Let's say if you have five toughness and you have absorb one, someone can't shoot two spells at you to kill you.
Right.
They have to... It has to be such overkill.
Correct. Like, I forget what size we have. Imagine, right, you have a 5-5. It's like, two lightning bolts is not enough to kill you.
Right. That sucks.
You know? Now, I'm not saying we'll never do it. That's why it's in category two. But I do admit that it's a developmental problem. And whenever I bring it up, like, Like, a couple times it said, what do you guys, maybe, what do you think of Absorb? The development always does this. Zero. Okay, I'm making a face that you can't see on audio, but I'm a grimace.
Yeah, a grimace.
Yes. So, anyway, I like the flavor of Absorb. I think Absorb is a really cool flavor. And it works a little better in Star Wars, where we didn't have... Star Wars had a lot more damage happening, right. So reducing one damage... it was a die-rolling game. You had a lot of dice, so... Reducing one damage wasn't this big deal when people were rolling, you know, 8 dice or 20 dice or whatever. Okay, try next one.
Gravestorm.
Gravestorm. Okay, so Gravestorm is a variant of?
Storm.
Storm, very good! I'd like to tell you some easy ones as well. Gravestorm was... I came up with Gravestorm. I was trying to come up with a tamer Storm was the idea. Because Storm is this mechanic that I always joke is kind of like the relationship that went bad that you keep thinking maybe next time it'll go better. And so every time you rekindle it, it goes horribly again. And then you're like, okay, that's it. I've learned my lesson. And then somehow you keep going back and going, this time it'll work. And Storm has burned us every time we've ever used it.
Did Gravestorm burn us?
Well, Gravestorm problem is it's too much like Storm, I think. It's just... we did it on one card, and I think it was okay, but it's not the kind of card you can put in lots of mechanics, because it's just... it's not quite as broken as Storm, but that's, you know, like... it's like comparing, you know... It's not quite as much a dictator as Mussolini, but... Notice I went to Mussolini, because... Everybody does Hitler, so right, I'm trying to go different.
Branch out. How about Frenzy?
Frenzy. Frenzy is a mechanic that I like a lot. So Frenzy is Frenzy N, and when you if you attack and are not blocked, you get plus N plus O. And we've made a few cards, I mean, not called Frenzy, but Magic's had a few cards that have done this. I like Frenzy a lot. Development does not like Frenzy, and so we have this constant fight. Because I think Frenzy is a real cool mechanic, and Development doesn't like it, so...
So it's only triggers when you're not blocked.
Right, when you're not blocked. I don't even understand why they don't... I kind of understand, but I think it's this neat mechanic in that it says, hey, you better get in a fight with me or else I'm pretty dangerous, and kind of encourages combat. But Development does not like it, so... I've tried to get Frenzy in multiple times, and each time Development sort of said they didn't want to do it, so... I'll put this in Camp 2. It would be Camp 1 if Development liked it at all. So I'll put it in Camp 2 in that I need to, you know, slowly warm them up to it.
Right.
Okay, we have one last one before we're going to get to work.
Transfigure.
Okay, so Transfigure was a take on Transmute, which was the Dimir mechanic from Ravnica. And Transfigure, I think, our creatures...
Did you just do it from in play instead of in your hand? Is that what it...
Well, no. I mean, Transmute was from in your hand. But Transmute was, I turn any spell into any other spell that has the same converted mana cost.
Right.
I think Transfigure are creatures that turn into any other creature with the same mana cost.
Right, but aren't they in play?
They're in play. Yeah. So the idea is I attack with this thing, and I could, if I have the mana, I can turn into any other creature with the same mana cost as me. The problem with Transfigure is the same problem with Transmute, which is, again, a developmental issue. I mean, a design issue, too, which is what we call repetitive gameplay, where part of the fun of Magic is you want different things to happen in different games, and if the same thing keeps happening, then it becomes kind of boring. And so we're very dubious of mechanics that say, hey, every time I play, the same thing's going to happen. And so tutors tend to lead to that. Okay, anyway... So, guys, we've not gotten through all the keywords. I want to talk about all the keywords, so I will do a part 3 next week. Matt probably won't be with me.
I'm out.
That's enough. Done.
Done with this.
So I want to thank Matt for joining us today, and we will have him in the future. He's my most... Now is your second show, so now you're my most used guest, I guess.
I'm honored.
So, anyway, thanks for joining us. And, guys, next week we'll do... I'll talk about the rest of the mechanics, maybe my 30 minutes in. Maybe, we'll see. There's a lot of mechanics. So anyway, thanks for joining us, and it's time to go make the magic.